Welcome to Success Genius, the only podcast for ambitious entrepreneurs who are serious about transforming their productivity game. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Yogi, Neil Williams, and I believe that true productivity doesn't come from more hours in the office, but from the mindsets and habits that leverage your maximal focus and energy. On this podcast, we'll dive deep into next-level habits, mindset shifts, and unique practices like yoga nidra. But we're steering clear of any band-aid solutions and time-wasting fads. You won't hear me talk about quick fixes, hacks, and trendy apps that promise the world and deliver nothing. Let's be real. How many planners and time management systems have you bought that are either collecting digital or literal dust? You and I both know these don't work. This show is all about the simple, everyday, high-impact practices validated by neuroscience and psychology, because as it turns out, your body is as pivotal to your productivity as your mind. So if you want to get 40 hours of work done in 10, stick around. We've got a lot to talk about. I'm Neil Williams, and this is the Success Genius Podcast. Welcome to episode 220. Oh my goodness, 220 episodes? That's a lot of weeks of episodes. Okay, so this one, we are diving into the emotions of time, money, and business. So if emotions seem like a scary topic, I promise you this is not going to be scary. This is going to be very educational and designed to be very practical and actionable. So specifically what we're going to talk about is the science of emotions. So we can lay a foundation. I'm going to teach you about how the brain makes emotions. Yes, emotions are brain made in your brain. Super interesting, right? And then we're going to dive into tools. I'm going to give you five tools to help you shift your emotional states if and when you think it helpful to do so. So this episode is for you if you have ever wondered why your emotions seem to be all over the place, or you start to have a negative thought spiral and you really can't figure out why, and you're thinking maybe there's something wrong with you, and you want tools in your emotional toolkit to help you boost your mood and create more positive emotional experiences in your everyday life. Okay, we are talking about emotions today. Are we ready? Super excited? All right. So this is going to be based on the work of a human that I absolutely adore, Dr. Lisa Feldman Barrett. She is an expert in emotions and the science of emotions and how our brain makes emotions. And so if this podcast interests you, or you want to go a little bit deeper, maybe you're a coach and you help clients, and all of us who are coaches run into emotions, right? Because they're part of our humanness. So you might want to dive into her books. She has two of them. The first one is called How Emotions Are Made. And then the second one is 7.5 Lessons of the Brain. Highly, highly recommend them. Whether you want to do this for yourself, which I hope that you do, or you just want to take what I teach you today, is going to be a very high level summary of a lot of her work, but definitely not the depth that I can't give you the depth of those books. That is her life's work, right? Kind of consolidated down into those two books. But I can give you a good summary of it. And if you're interested, you could go dive into those books. I think it's important for us as business owners, because so much of business is emotion. Also, being a parent, so much of parenting is emotion. Being in a relationship with any other human, whether you are thinking about managing your team, or you're thinking about your partner or your friendships, right? There is emotion involved in everything, okay? So I did a lot of research on emotions because I was in a state with my disease, it kicks off a lot of anxiety. And I was just super curious. I didn't know if there was a way that, and I didn't want to go into medication for it. I probably could have. It just wasn't the route that I decided to go. I wanted to understand. So, and this is like my default. If I'm struggling with something, I research the crap out of it. Just like consume, try to understand, make connections, come up with tools or protocols to try out to figure out, okay, how do I make progress in this area? And sometimes I can do it on my own, and sometimes I can't. Sometimes I have to go to a doctor, or I have to hire somebody, right, to understand it and to help me through that. But in this case, those two books by Dr. Lisa Feldman were really, really influential in some of the practices that I started to develop in dealing with this high level of anxiety. I mean, it was irrational anxiety, right? Like, I knew that it was, but I was really struggling with, okay, how, if I have any control over this at all, how do I do that? Like, what do I actually do? Okay. So that's what I want to give you today is kind of like, this was all self-preserving, right? This is like survival tactics for myself. But I think it's really important to expose you to the science of it, help you understand what the latest and greatest from her work says about how the brain makes emotions, and then give you some really practical tools that you can use to maybe shift your emotional state if and when you think that makes sense. I don't actually believe it always makes sense to do that. Depends on the context and the situation. And also be able to create more positive emotional experiences more predictably throughout our day, right? I think all of us would agree, like, that sounds pretty great, right? So we're going to first start talking about the science of emotions. And I want to talk about something called the affective complex. So I'm going to give you the science words, but then I'm going to make it very simple and easy to understand. That is always the goal on this, for me on this podcast. So when we're thinking about emotions, the first place that we start is by thinking about, and Dr. Feldman Barrett calls this a body budget. So your body, using its interoceptive network, is constantly scanning you. It's like scanning you all the things that are happening inside of you. And we don't know this, right? Like, I couldn't say, like, hey, what's happening with your adrenal gland right now? You would have no way of answering that question for me, right? You're like, I have no idea, Neil. Can we maybe do a scan or something and then we can figure out what that is? So the body, the interoceptive network is doing its thing 24/7 all the time, scanning. And it's looking for the state of what Dr. Feldman Barrett calls your body budget. Is it low? Think about it like as a bank balance. Is it low, meaning the body's pretty taxed? Or is it high? Like, we have a surplus here. We're in, like, you know, this phase where we have extra. So I want you to think about it in that way. And this is what defines something called the affective circumplex. Okay. So it's made up of two things. So you're thinking about your interoceptive network. It's doing a scan, and it's going to put your, depending on the state of your body budget, you're going to be put into one of two main buckets, either the positive affect bucket or the negative affect bucket. Okay. Affect is the scientific word, but I want you to think about maybe just replacing it with the word mood. Positive general mood, negative general mood. Okay, so that's a little bit easier, I think, for us to understand versus that word affect, which most of us, I don't think, are very familiar with. So body's scanning, and it's like, all right, where are we at? What's the state of the union right now? Are we doing good? We have, like, excess resources in the body, so we're in a positive mood, or are we, like, low? Are we, like, low on energy, low on whatever resources, and so we're in a negative mood? Okay, so that's, like, the general. Then I want you to think about, okay, so it's scanning, and it's, like, and this is happening, like, moment to moment, right? So we're just going to capture a moment in time and walk through what's happening. And then you can just extrapolate that, like your brain and your body are doing this all the time for you. So capture a moment in time, scan, interoceptive network is scanning all the organs and the hormones and the levels of all of the biochemicals and all the things inside your body. It's like putting you into either positive general mood or negative general mood, okay? The affect. Now, in addition to that, we're going to think about either those as being buckets. Or you can think about it, if you Google the affective circumplex, you will find lots and lots of images around this, and that might give you a good visual too. But the other piece to this is then something that's called arousal. So I'm going to use the scientific word. So first, affect is made up of valence, it's called, which is either good or bad, positive or negative, and then also arousal. Now, that seems like a weird word for emotions, right? So the way that we think about it is, are we like really high? Like our nervous system is on high alert. We are maybe peppy or enthusiastic or even like jittery, nervous, anxious, or are we pretty low? So that low can be calm, which would be totally fine. Sometimes we want to be there, but it could also be like really sluggish or tired, right? So it's the intersection of valence and arousal that defines this affective circumflex. So you can think about it as kind of like if we were doing it in, splitting it into four quadrants, the top right corner would be high positive affect, meaning be high positive mood and you're like peppy, enthusiastic, motivated. And then the lower right corner, you're still on the positive side of the x-axis, but you could be below the x-axis, right? Where the y could be negative, but that doesn't mean negative. It's low positive affect, meaning you're still good, like a positive mood, but you're calm, maybe a little more grounded, right? So the other side of it would be where we're on the negative x-axis. So let's say top left quadrant would be something called a high negative affect. So this would be you're in a negative generalized mood and you're like anxious and jittery and nervous. That's like where my body, brain and body tend to go when I lack sleep, when there's something really off with my disease or it's like flared up a little bit, like I had the flu over the past 8 days, that really set me into a tailspin. So think about that's the top left. So then we have the bottom left, right? So if you're in math nerd and you're imagining a graph with me here, it would be the negative x-axis and the negative y-axis. Okay, so that bottom left quadrant, that's called low negative affect. And that's where we have a generalized negative mood. And we're like sluggish, tired, lethargic, almost like depressive, right? So when I was in the midst of that flu, that's totally where I was at. A total negative affect. And like my energy was so in the tank, I barely got out of bed or off the couch. I didn't even eat. So I lost quite a few pounds because I couldn't even get myself up to eat. And when I did eat, I did keep the food down. And so it was just all this negative spiral, right? So you could think about it in terms of that affective circumflex. The other visual that I'm going to give you for those of you who didn't quite follow that, because maybe I didn't articulate that very well, is thinking about breaking it up into, number one, let's look at valence, which is just good or bad mood. So positive mood bucket or negative mood bucket. Okay. Body, your brain and body scanning. And it's like, okay, we're in the positive mood bucket or we're in the negative mood bucket. And then within each of those, we can have a couple of other buckets that are below them. So we could have like the really enthusiastic and excited and motivated bucket in the positive one. Or we could have maybe one that is more calm and grounded, but still positive, right? Still, like we still feel good, but we're just not like super elevated and excited and all that. And then same with the negative. So maybe we're in the negative mood bucket and we could be anywhere from negative, hyper jittery and nervous and anxious, like that kind of energy. Or we could be down to a different sub bucket, which would be more like sluggish, lethargic, just super low energy. Okay. So just try and come up with that mental image in your mind. If you're listening to the podcast, if you're someplace where you can Google affective circumflex and take a peek at that grid, you'll see lots of different ones. They're pretty much all the same. Okay. So the first thing that happens is based on your body budget, you are put into a bucket of mood. Okay. So that's really good to know, right? So one thing you should be hearing or in implicitly kind of taking away from this is, oh, my biology, my physiology has a lot to do with my overall mood. That's absolutely true. So if you find yourself, you know, not sleeping well for a few nights, or maybe something else is going on, where your body's just really low, you're maybe sick, don't be so shocked if you end up feeling kind of like low mood and you're either like experiencing more nervousness or anxiety than you typically do, or you're even just like super sluggish or lethargic and you're just like, I just don't even want to get off the couch. I just want to go climb in bed and curl up. That's pretty normal, right? What the body, the brain is trying to do is trying to preserve itself and replenish itself, replenish the body budget, okay? So this is one thing that I want to make clear, because this happens with a lot of my one-on-one clients. They'll come to me and they'll be like, I'm in a negative thought spiral. And I'm always like, it's fine. What's been going on lately? Like, have you not been sleeping? Have you noticed that you're just like, maybe you're not moving like you used to? Maybe something's going on where there's probably something that has led up to this, where you're just kind of in that negative mood bucket and then everything spirals from there. So depending on which mood bucket we end up in, we're going to notice different thoughts, different feelings, different decisions, different behaviors. Okay. This was so, so clear to me over the past 2 years. Sometimes I felt like I was losing my mind, quite honestly, because before I understood all this, one day I would wake up and I would be like, oh my gosh, I can't do business. I just can't. Like, I can't do this. It's too hard. I'm not good at it. I'm going to wreck my family, you know, just like everything's falling off a cliff kind of thing. And at first I believed it. I was like, well, you probably shouldn't be doing that, Neil. Right? But then when you have the contrast, when a couple of days later you wake up and you're feeling really positive and you're like, of course I can do this. I've done hard things in the past. I can meet this challenge. I actually really enjoy doing business because I enjoy helping people and I enjoy creating the content that I create. And I think it's really valuable and I think it's really important and impactful. Like, is there something wrong with me? Is what I started to think, right? How can I have such a negative experience and negative thought spirals and negative mood and emotions and all of that, followed by a day later, a completely different me and completely different outlook on the world of business and time and money and like everything, right? So I just want to normalize that if you're experiencing it. It's that your body budget, something's happening with your body and you're shifting between these two general mood buckets, most likely, okay? So please do not think like I did that something is wrong with you. There's not anything wrong with you. It's just the biology of what's happening inside of you, okay? So now that you understand that, now let's go to how emotions are made, okay? Emotions are actually made in the brain. Now, this was something that was hard to get my brain wrapped around because I was like, wait a minute, everything I've heard about emotions is that they're in my body. But then I made this connection. I'm probably going to get this quote wrong. So I tried to Google it. I couldn't find it exactly. But even my son said this to me the other day. He was like, well, sight is in your eyes, but vision is in your brain. It might have been the reverse. But the idea behind that is, yes, your eyes bring in the sight, like the things into your visual system, but your brain is the one that interprets them, right? The same is true with your emotions. So the input that your body's bringing in is through the interoceptive network, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, but your brain is interpreting those things, okay? And its interpretation is, number one, dependent on what general mood bucket we're in. And that is dependent on the state of our body budget, okay? Are we in the hole? Are we in the red? Are we in the black? Okay? So now, based on that, how is an instance of emotion actually made? And again, Dr. Feldman Barrett goes into much more depth than what I'm going to in this podcast on the actual science and behind all of this. So if you want to take a deeper dive, I highly, highly encourage you to go read her books. She's amazing. Basically, what happens is then the brain scans your past experiences. So I want you to think about, we have like these piles of experiences to draw from, and it's scanning. It's like, huh, which of these past experiences is most like the current experience? And then it's like, oh, ding, 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 this is the one. And then it predicts, this is what's so wild, it predicts our thoughts, our feelings, and our behavior based on that past experience. If that prediction is an emotion, then we experience an instance of that emotion. Is that not wild to you? Like, that melted brain, my brain. I literally had to read this book 2 times because I was like, what? This is so different from what I have learned, right, in the past. So here, this, I'm going to give you a quote that is like one of my most favorite quotes from here. So if you hear nothing from this podcast but this, please hear this. Every experience you construct is an investment. Invest wisely. Cultivate experiences that you want to construct again in the future. So did you all hear that? This is what changed everything for me, was like, wait a minute. I can construct experiences right now that I go into that prediction bank, and then it will make it more likely for me to have that experience going forward. So here is what is so cool about that. I can decide to not make experiences so they don't go into the prediction bank. This goes into our tools in just a minute, we're going to talk about. And I can decide to make other experiences really important in my mind so that they go into the prediction bank. And I like stamp them down as, hey, this one's super important to remember. Because then I have a little more control over my future experiences, because my future experiences are predicted from my past experiences. This goes back a little bit to the episode that we talked about a few weeks ago. I alluded to this in the one on overthinking and overwhelm, right? If we have like a lot of experiences of overwhelm or overthinking in our prediction bank, guess what? We're going to create more experiences of those in the future, because that's what we're predicting from. That's the input that we're predicting our future experiences from. So cool to understand this. I hope that you're excited as I am to share this with you. Okay. So now that we know this, we understand that our brain and our body are like constantly scanning us to figure out, are we in the positive mood or general mood? And then based on those buckets, we're going to have like a pile of experiences in each of those buckets. And the brain then is scanning for the most likely, the most common situation that we've had in the past. And it's going to predict our thoughts, feelings, and actions from there based on that past experience. Okay. So then what we want to think about is, okay, great. That's really important information for us to all understand. But if you're a podcast listener, I know you want some tools, right? So how do we actually use this for our benefit? So the very first thing that I can say is, in order to give yourself the highest possible likelihood of being in the positive mood bucket, more predictably, maybe more of your time. It's not going to be always, right? We're not talking about absolutes here. We're just thinking, if we can up the proportion of time that you have your body budget in a place that's putting you into the positive mood or affect bucket, how would we actually do that? And since this has to do with biology and the state of your body, of course, we have to do those things that are going to give us all the things that our brain and body needs to function well. So that means, like I mentioned last week's episode where I said that I'm going to sound like your mom for a hot minute, I'm going to go back and sound like your mom for a hot minute, okay? It means really prioritizing sleep, making sleep something that is really important. Sleep has a huge impact on mood. You might even be able to like chart this for yourself. This is something that I did. I started like connecting the dots. And the days where I was experiencing a lot of anxiety and just like negative generalized mood, I hadn't slept well for the past couple days. Totally made sense, right? I was like, oh, of course that's what's happening. Like, it was easy for me to just like connect the dots then and not make it mean like there's something wrong with me. I did something wrong. Like seriously, I have something wrong with me. Yesterday, I was thinking so positive and so great. And then today, I'm in the total tank. Like, what happened? Okay. So sleep, really, really important. And if you're someone like me who struggles with sleep, I will say this again. I've mentioned this before, but having some practices in your toolkit to help support you on the days that are challenging because sleep has been an issue are things like yoga nidra. Yoga nidra is such a replenishing practice and it's so easy. I just don't even know why we don't do it. I wish we did it with our kids in school. I wish that corporations implemented these practices, right? I wish that it was acceptable and normal. Maybe you can help me start making it that normalized. But thinking about how to replenish yourself if you are low on sleep, because what's going to happen is probably your body will feel taxed. And then you will notice maybe some more negative feelings, some more negative thoughts, maybe even not taking the actions that you would really know you want to take, right? It's harder to do when we don't feel great. Okay, the next one is nutrition. And again, I mentioned this on last week's podcast, but real food. Like real food that provides your body with the nutrients that it needs to do its best work for you, your brain and your body. And so I'm not going to say too much more about that, but really thinking about maybe not eating pseudo food, maybe not eating food that's really just chemicals, but like real food, that can have a huge impact on whether we're experiencing generalized positive mood, generalized negative mood. And then exercise. There is study after study after study showing that exercise has such a positive benefit on our physical, mental, and emotional health. And that makes a lot of sense that it would have an effect on our emotional health, right? Because exercise makes our body feel good. It replenishes us in terms of energy. It helps our brain function well. And so when our brain's doing that scaling, it's like, oh, we're in a good spot. We're going to be in the positive affect bucket, the positive mood bucket right now. Okay. So sleep, nutrition, exercise, really, really important foundational things. I'm not going to say anymore about that. But the other things that we can do is something that I mentioned a few weeks ago. So those are like the foundation, I guess I would say. And so now what I want to go into is like five strategies or tools, you can call them, whatever word works for you, for a more predictable, more positive emotional experience, kind of in your everyday. Now, one thing that we can do, let's say that the state of your body budget is low and you notice you're kind of in that negative mood bucket. How do we like maybe shift out of that? That's what the next three tools are all going to be about, shifting that and trying to move maybe from like the negative one to a more neutral, maybe it's somewhere in the middle, or even maybe something more positive. So remember, the way we got into that bucket in the first place is our body's low in some way. So it's information, if nothing else. It's like, oh, I'm low on something right now. I wonder what that is. What could I do to support myself? What could I do to replenish myself, right? Because the better we get at that, the more easily we'll shift over out of that negative into more positive. So one thing you can do is do something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, which is exteroception. So when we're feeling negative, I feel like one of the things that we do, we don't mean to do this, but we pay more attention to that negative mood and the negative thoughts, and that makes it even worse. So we just like elevate the negative by paying attention. So we like get interocepted. We're like, oh my gosh, I saw that negative thought. It said that I was going to fail. It said that everything's doom and gloom. It said that I was going to whatever. Nothing's going to work, basically, at the end of the day, right? Everything's going to like fall off a cliff. In those situations, it may be more helpful to do some exteroception, meaning getting your focus and your attention out of what's happening inside of you and the physical discomfort that you're feeling, and more onto something else. So maybe that is going for a walk. Maybe that is doing some work even. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it is sitting down and doing Netflix. I don't know. But getting your attention off of yourself and what's happening inside of you can sometimes be really helpful so that you're not hyper-focusing on that negative. So that's tool number one. Think about how you might use exteroception here, okay? The next tool that you can try out is trying to give your body physical comfort. Because remember, the reason why we got to the negative mood bucket in the first place was because the body's low. The body is low on resources somewhere. And so physical comfort can be really helpful in shifting out of that. So physical comfort can mean a million different things for everybody, right? So it could be something like going to take a bath. It could be going to a sauna, which is one of my go-tos, or the hot tub. Those are both really, really helpful for me. It could be snuggling, going back to your bed. I've suggested this to clients in the past, and like, why don't you just go back to bed and snuggle up and curl up in there and just be really super cozy and comfy? And oftentimes that's enough to replenish, right? So it could be a massage. For me, one of the things, I think I've shared this before in the podcast, but I'm not sure. One of the things that was super sweet that my husband did for me when I was first diagnosed, and I was really, really struggling, and it was just really hard to get out of bed, and every day just felt like a slog. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. He gave me one of his sleeping bags. So he is a long-distance hiker. He does his extreme hiking trips. And so he has all of this specialized gear that is very, very light. I mean, I'm talking like ounces. Like, I think he tries to do 100-mile plus hikes, and his pack fully loaded is like 10 pounds or something. It's ridiculous. Like, it's like almost an obsession of how little weight he can get. So in any case, he has all of this specialized gear that is super light. And so he has extras of everything, of course. And so he gave me one of the sleeping bags, and it is just so light. It literally feels like a cloud almost, but it's kind of like cocooning. And so I will just go curl up in that sleeping bag and just lay there, and I will read, or I will just do a yoga. This is what I do my yoga nidras with, whatever I can do to just bring a little bit of physical comfort to my body. And there's just a little bit of relief there. Okay. So thinking about how can you bring physical comfort to your body, because your body budget is the thing that is determining which of those mood buckets that you're in, okay? Another thing that you can do, which is a really great suggestion, is so simple, but change locations. You might be like, what? But what happens is if you move to a different location, you trigger a different prediction bank in your brain. Right. So maybe you're working and you just had like, maybe it's a bad day for whatever reason. Something didn't go the way that you wanted it to. And you're kind of like stuck in it and you just can't get yourself like out of it. Maybe take your computer and go out to the living room or go to the kitchen, someplace that you don't have those same experiences. You have other experiences that are maybe more positive. And the brain's going to be like, wait a minute, what happened here? This is different. I don't think the right prediction is that same one that we were making in when we're in the office. It's really wild how this happens. This is how I started to get myself, made it easier on myself to do like my budget, is I stopped sitting in my office because I had so many experiences of sitting in there and feeling anxiety that that's what started to be predicted. So I was like, okay, brain, we're going to go to the couch, and I'm actually going to turn on a show, or I'm going to turn on a podcast or something, and I'm going to make a completely new experience around this and shift my experiences in the future from that, because I'm going to have a different prediction to draw from going forward. Okay. So change locations for new and different predictions. So these three are ways that you can make some more like immediate real-time shifts if that's what you're looking for. Now, again, I want to make very clear, I'm not saying that our focus should be to try and change our emotional state all the time. I think there are many situations in life where it makes sense for us to be in a negative emotional state, that is appropriate for the context that we're in. Okay. So I know I said that, but I just want to reiterate that. The next two tools that I'm going to give you are from Dr. Feldman's book, and they're ones that I started using. They are ones that are going to be more for your longer term emotional health and experiences, not necessarily shifting you kind of in the moment. Okay, so this next one is something called emotional granularity. So if you've been in the psychology world at all, one of the things that we are taught is that a great way to help people with their emotions is to have them label them, right? Labeling them, acknowledging them makes us feel better just doing that. Well, emotional granularity is kind of like labeling 2.0 or labeling on steroids, in my opinion. So because of the way the brain makes predictions from past experience, what we can do is we can create new, like expand our emotional vocabulary so we have a more refined prediction bank to pull from. Okay, so there are, what's so cool, and you'll learn if you read her book, is that in the United States, if that's where you're listening from, we don't have all of the emotional words. Different cultures have different emotional words. Isn't that crazy? There's a couple from her book that stick out in my mind, but one in particular is, I think it's a Japanese word, and I'm not even going to try and say the word because I will butcher it. But it is basically the emotions you feel when you get a bad haircut. Now, when I say that, you could probably like maybe even pull up an experience in your mind. You're like, oh my gosh, totally been there, done that, right? For sure, I have. You're like, oh my goodness, what happened? I wish I wouldn't have done that, blah, 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 right? So expanding your emotional vocabulary is something that can create more refined experiences and more refined buckets of prediction for your brain to pull from for your future experiences. So what I've started to do is I've just made up my own. And you can do this too. But basically, like if I have an experience, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to re-experience that. Or I want to refine my experience in this kind of like grouping of emotions, then I will make up a word for it. Okay. So because anxiety was such a big component and one of the reasons why I went to all of the effort to read and research and try all this stuff out is to help me deal with that anxiety. And so one of the things that I decided to do was refine my emotional verbiage around anxiety. So now, for instance, when I am going to maybe speak in front of people in terms of in my groups, or I am maybe going to coach a client or talking, doing a sales call or something of that effect, I do experience anxiety, but I don't call it that anymore. I call it anxious determination. I literally just made that up, right? But now it's not this generalized experience. What I've done is I've created a more refined prediction bank for my brain to pull from. And now it's like, oh, it's not anxiety. It's just anxious determination. I actually just really care about this person in front of me. I'm super determined to help them. And I'm excited about it. That's what this emotion is. Okay, so that's just one example. But I have a whole journal that I've kept, and it's my emotional granularity journal, basically. And I try to do a couple of these per week so that I am continually building my emotional vocabulary and at the same time building up my experience bank. My predictions from my brain then have more to pull from and more refined experiences to pull from to better predict an experience in the future. Okay, so try it out. Another way you can do this if you don't want to make up your own is just go to different cultures and start to look at some of their emotional words. You have emotional concepts that we don't have in the US. And I think just understanding that is super helpful, right? It's like, oh, there's actually a way for me to describe this specific experience that I had today that's a little bit different than some of the other experiences that I've had. So emotional granularity is tool number four. The last tool that we're going to talk about here is more of a journaling kind of exercise. And this one I've also found to be really helpful. So I kind of do this in conjunction with the emotional granularity, and it's all in my emotional journal. And what we want to do is we want to make positive experiences more salient, meaning more known and more important in your mind. Stamp them down. Because when we do this, our brain is more likely to predict these for us in the future. And remember Dr. Feldman's quote that I love so much? She says, Every experience you construct is an investment. Invest wisely. Cultivate experiences you want to construct again in the future. I'm not saying to do this with every experience, right? But if you picked a couple of experiences per week and you journaled about them, that's making them more important in your mind because we're literally taking the time to sit down and write about them. Or maybe even you talk to your family about them. Like maybe this becomes a topic of dinner conversation. Like, what is an emotional experience you had today? Tell me everything about it, right? And what you're doing is you're because you're talking about it, you're making it important. It was important enough to spend time rehashing it, talking about it with other people, or if it's just with you and yourself, talking about it in your journal. Making it important enough to remember and to be part of that prediction bank that the brain is going to pull from for a future experience. Okay? All right. So that was a lot, you all. We talked a lot about emotions. Again, this is a very high-level summary of Dr. Feldman's work. Some of the things that I've found most important and most helpful. I do encourage you to go dive into her work. She doesn't have her own podcast, but she's been on several podcasts. So you could also just Google her name and go listen to some of the podcasts that she's been on if you want to hear her speak about this. In any event, I hope this has been helpful for you to maybe think about your emotions in a different way, that there is science behind them, that there is a way that your brain predicts them for you based on past experiences. And now you have some tools to help you maybe shift your mood if that's what you're looking for, and or the ability to create more predictable, positive emotional experiences for yourself in the future. You do have control here. And hopefully these tools gave you some ability to take control of your emotional experience. Have an amazing week. I'll see you right back here next week for the Success Genius Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Success Genius. I truly hope you found the content valuable and inspiring. My mission with Success Genius is to provide you, the ambitious entrepreneur, with the tools, strategies, and mindsets necessary for achieving success in a healthy and sustainable way. I'm dedicated to helping you balance your entrepreneurial aspirations with a vibrant and fulfilling life and lifestyle. If you found value in today's episode, here's how you can support this mission. Subscribe to Success Genius. By subscribing, you'll have all of our latest episodes and insights right at your fingertips. Leave us a rating and review. Your feedback is invaluable to us. It helps us improve and it helps fellow entrepreneurs find our show. Let's grow this community of success geniuses together. And share the episode with a friend, colleague, or loved one. If you think today's episode could help someone you know, please don't hesitate to share it. The ripple effect of knowledge can have a powerful impact. As we conclude this episode, remember that as entrepreneurs, we're all on this journey together. Supporting each other's growth and well-being is one of the most significant ways we can achieve greatness. I know how very valuable your time and attention is, so I want to thank you for spending some of it today with me and this show. Together, we can spread the message of healthy success to our kids, our friends, our neighbors, and our communities. Thank you for being a part of this. I couldn't do it without you.